Trespass again. believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
When I be, do you desire to be baptized? When I be, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Ren Ivy the new birth of the Holy Baptism, and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promise of inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. We continue the service with the introit.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help.
And you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping and tearing for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us, that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Martyrtide is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel in the 34th chapter. Thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and in thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture, and drink of the clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set them up over one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy in the first chapter. I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, indivisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you.
tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 15, especially these verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? This is our text. This man receives sinners and eats with them. No one can deny that what the Pharisees and scribes say here about Jesus is true. They are right. He does receive sinners, and he does eat with them. That's not gossip. That's not slander. It's the honest-to-goodness truth. That's exactly what Jesus does. Guilty as charged, he might say. Instead of turning away the notorious sinners and lawbreakers, he welcomes them in repentance. Rather than shunning the tax collectors and social outcasts, he breaks bread with them. He gives them his friendship. He even calls them to be his disciples. So it's no wonder that the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And Jesus does this right out in the open for everyone to see. He's not hiding it. It's not like he meets with sinners and tax collectors in secret and denies it in public. He's not attempting to hide what's happening. He's not attempting to put an end to it. It's almost as if he's got no shame. He's not embarrassed by anyone who comes to him. He's not put off by anyone's reputation, by anyone's personal history. He receives sinners and tax collectors, and he eats with them. And for the scribes and the Pharisees, that is precisely the problem with Jesus. He's really got to be more careful about the company he keeps. It gives the wrong impression, you know. And everyone knows that bad company corrupts good morals. If he keeps going like this, if Jesus keeps gathering with people like this, with sinners and tax collectors, it could get him into trouble one day. Chances are, he'll end up just like the sinners he befriends. But that's not all. The Pharisees and scribes are also right about the sinners and tax collectors. Let's give the Pharisees and scribes credit for this much. They know a sinner when they see one. It's clear that these people have broken God's law. It's clear that they've violated God's commandments. They've debased themselves by their sin. It's clear that they've lived as if God did not matter and as if they mattered most. Their love for others has failed. In the language of the gospel reading, these sinners have most definitely wandered from the fold and gotten lost. And let's be clear about what that means. It doesn't mean that they've simply chosen another path or decided on an alternate life. Such phrases might be used at times as if it's to make sin be okay, as if it's all a matter of personal preference and individual taste. No, in the story from the gospel reading, the sheep that are lost are sheep that have chosen a path by which they will be lost eternally. It's a path of sin that leads to destruction. So being lost here is like standing on the deck of a sinking ship or getting disoriented on a long hike in a remote area. We know how those stories end. All you have to do is turn on the news, and you can hear about them. So in the New Testament Greek, just like in the English, the word lost can have the sense of meaning to be lost forever, to perish eternally. Such is the state of these sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees and scribes know it. And that's what makes the problem with Jesus all the worse. What in God's name is he doing in the middle of people who deserve nothing but death and hell. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing, and he puts it in a way that we can all relate to and understand it. He tells a story about a lost sheep, and he tells a story about a lost coin. What man of you, Jesus asks, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Now, I'll be honest, I've never had 100 sheep. So there's part of me that always wonders if it would really be worth the effort to go after just that one. You know, to lose one is an economic loss for the shepherd, but he's got 99 more. He could just take the loss. He could write it off on next year's taxes, happy that he's got the others. And yet the way Jesus puts the question begs for a positive answer. Which of you would not go after the lost until he finds it? Of course, a shepherd would. Whatever he might think, whatever we might think, there's no question that he would go after that one lost sheep that has wandered away. And if that's true of the average shepherd, how much more is that true of the good shepherd? Then there are also the words that we heard from the reading in Ezekiel. The prophet saying, God saying through the prophet, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed and I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. Jesus is on a mission to do precisely that. He is on a mission to seek those lost sinners and restore them. He is on a mission to bind up their wounds and bring them back and strengthen them. And how does he do it? How does he do it then, and how does he do it now? Our Lord does it through his word. And his word comes in two forms. We know this, we've heard it. We sang it in our first two hymns. The law of God and the gospel shows the Father's grace. Our Lord restores his sheep by speaking his law clearly and forcefully so that we know our sin and repent of it. And he restores his sheep by proclaiming the good news of who he is and what he came to do for his sheep. Jesus also uses the story of the woman seeking the coin. Or what woman, Jesus asks, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, doesn't light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Now, compared to a sheep, the coin might not be worth that much. But you would know that we tend to place a lot of value even on things that may not have a lot of worth to the world. At one time or another, you've set your life on hold to hunt for some item that someone else would consider worthless but is priceless to you. And even if your spouse or friend thinks you're crazy, you don't stop looking for it until you found it. If it's the car keys, if it's your wallet, the search comes with worry, anxiety, and maybe even a little bit of panic. And while a sheep could find its way back to the fold, a coin certainly can't. It won't end up back in the purse unless someone stumbles upon it and finds it. And then add this to the picture. In an ordinary Palestinian house in the first century, there were no windows, and the poor woman didn't have the blessings of electricity or a flashlight. So you can picture her going about her house, bent over with a broom in one hand and a little lamp, oil lamp in the other, grubbing around in the dust and the dirt for a coin the size of a dime. It seems almost pathetic. What these parables have in common is the dedication to finding what was lost. The shepherd dedicating to finding that one lost sheep, the woman dedicated to finding the one last lost coin. The shepherd spares no effort for his sheep. The woman is practically on hands and knees looking for her coin, and neither of them stop until they found it. They don't give it a decent shot and call it good. The shepherd doesn't take a glance at the rough terrain and head home. The woman doesn't take a swift sweep of the house and call it good. They are totally dedicated to what they're doing. And this is a picture of your Lord, a picture of your Lord and his dedication to finding and restoring the lost, including us. This is how dedicated he is in wanting to rescue those who are perishing. Our Lord is all in, and he holds nothing back. He stooped to the lowest places. He went down into the darkest corners so that we could be raised up with him and live with him in eternal light. And the fact is that Jesus kept company with sinners and tax collectors, and yes, his life ended exactly as one would expect. He was condemned like the sinners he befriended. He identifies so closely with them that he actually bears their sins, and he dies their death, and he suffers their hell on the cross. Can you hear the lostness in the words that Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the very reason he receives sinners and eats with them. Not to condone their sin, not to say that their sin or yours or mine is okay, but to take it away. He came to find the lost and to rescue them by giving his own life on their behalf. But that's not where the stories end. Consider the shepherd again. Not only is he dedicated to restoring the sheep, but it goes like this. When he has found the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. He not only finds that lost sheep, he also brings it home on his shoulders. Our Lord came down from heaven and became man, the incarnation, to do precisely this. And what was laid on his shoulders was the cross. He died for all. He died for every single one of the sheep, including every single lost sheep, for every sinner and tax collector and Pharisee and scribe. And then he ascended into heaven bodily after his resurrection. He did what no other shepherd could do. And what Jesus has done in rescuing lost sheep brings glory to God and joy to heaven, where the lost sheep are finally at home again. Do you hear that note of joy? Joy not only on earth, but in heaven, over every sinner who repents. And the woman, when she has found her coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We know what it's like to find something that was lost. You can't help but cry out, I found it. So the entire house, and perhaps even the entire neighborhood, hears about it and shares the joy. You just want to call someone up when you find that wallet or those keys, even if they didn't know that you'd lost them. And yet the joy that Jesus has isn't over the multitude of those who are saved. He's not about the numbers. His joy is over each individual sinner. Each individual sinner. Every single one of you who sorrow over your sin and trust in him. One sinner who repents sets off a celebration that reaches heaven. And we get to join in that celebration here. It goes for each and every one of us. You're the one whom Jesus rejoices in. You're the one whom the whole church in heaven and on earth is invited to celebrate with Jesus, with the shepherd, and with the woman. Who are the lost, the sinners, and the tax collectors? Who are those who have grieved God by what we have thought and said and done? Who are those who have loved ourselves more than we have loved him and who have neglected our neighbors but us? And we confess it, and we acknowledge it, and we repent of it, and we step back into our baptisms. Being a Christian is not a confession that we are without sin. Being a Christian is a confession that we are sinners who, by God's help, are struggling against our sin day after day after day. And our Lord rejoices in us, as a shepherd rejoices to find his lost sheep, as a woman rejoices to find her lost coin, as you rejoice to find your lost keys, so Jesus receives every repentant sinner with joy. In our second reading, we heard what St. Paul said. He told Timothy, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Even the chief of sinners, even a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent received mercy." And this is why I said Jesus doesn't care what your past personal history is. He doesn't care what your reputation is. He receives lost sinners and tax collectors who repent. He doesn't condemn them. They were already condemned, and they knew it. Imagine that lost sheep, when it finally realizes that it's lost, bleating and crying out and not knowing how to save itself. And then along comes the good shepherd, who picks that sheep up, puts that sheep on his shoulders, and brings it home. He forgives them. And that's why these sinners and tax collectors love Jesus. This is why these sinners and tax collectors flock to Jesus. It's why these sinners and tax collectors rejoice to hear his word. And it's why we love Jesus too, and why we have flocked here, and why we rejoice to hear his word, because he has taken away our sin. Thanks be to God. Yes, Jesus receives sinners and tax collectors. He also receives Pharisees and scribes. And he does it in the same way that a shepherd rescues a lost sheep or a woman recovers a lost coin. He rejoices in each and every one, and he even eats with them. So, dear sinner, Christ Jesus came for you. Repent and rejoice. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
The congregation may be seated, and I invite to the front our Sunday school teachers, Amanda Vega, Laura Gall, Amanda Roach, and Tom Connor. Beloved in the Lord, you have been chosen out of this congregation as Christians known to love the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may assist your pastor in the ministry of the Word for the building up of the children of God to their eternal welfare and to the praise of his glorious grace. In Deuteronomy, the Holy Spirit says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. As you undertake this solemn office, the Lord of all, who has put into your hands his holy, precious scriptures, now puts into your hands also the souls of the lambs and sheep of Christ's flock, which he purchased with his own blood, that you may feed them his word of life. Therefore I ask you, do you believe that all holy scripture is the very word of God, holy, true, and without error, given that we might believe in Jesus Christ and in him be saved? Do you believe that the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the Scripture, are the true and unchanged teachings of God's Word? Then answer, I do believe.
I do believe.
Will you teach the Christians in your care only what Scripture itself teaches, in accordance with the confessions of our Church? Then answer, I will.
I will.
Will you pray for the souls you teach? For me, your fellow teacher, and for yourself? And will you devote yourself to ongoing study of the Scriptures, that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be equipped for the work he will do through you? Then answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
And now I ask the congregation, beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by this man and these women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
As a called minister of this flock, to whom the ministry of word and sacrament has been entrusted, I install you as teachers of the word of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand before you kneel. Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, teacher and Lord, bless these your servants as they instruct the lambs of your flock. Open the scriptures to them that they may see you in your word. Increase their faith and joy in you. Defend them from the assaults of the devil, from the false words of this world, and from their own doubts, fears, and sin. But let them, with strong confidence in you and in your strong word, be servants of grace, that their labors may bear fruit now and into eternity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amanda, Laura, Amanda, and Tom, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we would daily recognize how the Lord provides for our every need of body and soul, and in praise and thanksgiving to his holy name for these gifts from above, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For pastors, that God would bless them in shepherding his people whom he has gathered, and in seeking those who have wandered away. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the elders of our congregation, Ed Schaefer, Dave Farabaugh, and Paul Dwiggins, that the Lord would equip them for their work of providing support, encouragement, and counsel to our pastor, and give them wisdom in their spiritual leadership among us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the households of this congregation, that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. For expectant mothers, Shayla, Alyssa, and Joelle, that they would come safely to the time of delivery. For those who sorrow over infertility, that they might receive comfort. and for those families involved in foster care and adoption, that parents and children would be blessed in their life together. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in authority, that the God who appoints princes would remember those he has placed over us and cause them to fulfill their responsibilities according to his word. And for all those on this day who grieve over the tragic circumstances of 9/11, that their hearts may be comforted by the Lord's word, and that our nation would be protected from terrorist attacks and other tragedies. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the Lord who heals would hear our cries on behalf of all who are in need of strength and deliverance, especially for Dan and Connie, Ralph and Sandy, Jim, Karen, Matthew, Hattie, Marty, Cliff, Diane, Cadence, Danny and Camilla, Marilyn, Catherine, Anne, Wayne, Heather, John, Kay, John, Bobby Joe, Karina, Jackie, Randy, Rosemary, and Nancy. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who travel, especially Ann Bennett, that their ways would be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Janet, that they would be comforted by the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive Christ's body and blood, that God would gather them as a shepherd gathers lost sheep, remove whatever is contrary to sound doctrine, and give them repentant hearts that rejoice with the angels. And for those who by instruction are being prepared for this gift, that the Lord would build them up in the faith as they await this holy treasure. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the baptized who have wandered from the household of faith, that God would pursue them as a shepherd seeks lost sheep and strengthen their families to persist in prayer and confidence in his faithfulness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving that the Lord brings up the souls of his people from Sheol and restores his people who go down to the pit, and that he would preserve us in faith until we too sing his praises in heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, all things are yours, and you have promised to well supply us with all that we need. Give us courage and faith that we may give a confident amen to these prayers, certain that you will give us all that is good and beneficial to our salvation, and preserve us from all things harmful. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all glory and honor, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. depart in peace.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
To the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit that, having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, the unity with Christ, and life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.